Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today, launching your own business after getting dumped from your favorite job. We'll have a chat with entrepreneur and social media influencer Natalie Zafat, who made a promise not to be at someone else's mercy again. Her story after this. The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. How would you respond after getting fired from your dream job? You might tap your network and quickly land a new gig in the same field of work. You might shift gears completely and start in a new line of work. Or you might just launch your own business, promising yourself that you'll never work for someone else again. That's how it went down for Natalie Zafat, who was just starting to carve out a career path when she was let go from her favorite journalism job. Now she's what's known as a social media influencer, as well as a writer and entrepreneur. Natalie, start off with an explanation. What is a social media influencer?
Social media influencer is a title that gets thrown around a lot. I kind of associate as a social media entrepreneur, and I think the best way to describe that is that I write and do partnerships, mostly that live online, with all kinds of brands, ranging from technology companies like Microsoft and Dell, to media brands like Marie Claire, Refinery 29, and Mashable.
And those partnerships might involve what, Natalie? Writing or blogging about these companies or a particular product? How does that work?
Yeah, so like depending on the goals of those brands, I usually do one of three things. So the first is, like you said, writing. I might create a blog post or a series of social media posts teasing out those products or services that the brand might be looking to sort of promote. The second and third thing I do are either video content or live events. So events that, you know, have me speaking in some capacity at a conference or even just an event where they're launching one of their new products.
Very good. So this all started. So you and I attended this conference with Dell at a shared workspace called WeWork in New York, which is how you and I connected initially. And you told a story there to some of the entrepreneurs about what you got dumped by Rolling Stone. And then, right? And then basically had an aha moment and said, I'm not going through that again, and kind of launched yourself.
It's a great way of putting it. I did get dumped. It was like a bad breakup. It was very painful. I did. I worked for Rolling Stone magazine for about 2 years. It was my first job out of school. You know, not only my first job, but my dream job. And you know, I was interviewing people like Prince and Bono. I was writing for the magazine and the website, which had launched earlier that year. And you know, 2008 came along, and you know, it was a really rough time for every industry, but certainly the print industry was not immune to it. And unfortunately, you know, I got laid off that year. And I kind of was faced with, you know, pivoting and figuring out what to do next. And so, you know, the challenge for me was, do I go to another magazine, you know, a spin or a billboard or, you know, even a magazine that wasn't in the music space? Or do I try to go and be a part of you know, an industry that was growing? And certainly we had you know, digital, which was at the time, you know, sort of people weren't using social media for business really, but people were certainly blogging. That was an industry that was very much on the horizon. And I was getting a lot of requests. You know, brands were coming to me and asking me, based on the following I had developed at Rolling Stone, they were asking me to blog for them. So I started to kind of, you know, think like an entrepreneur for the first time instead of a writer. I thought, you know, look, there's a demand here. Who would I be not to, you know, supply?
Right. All right. So was it anything you had studied in school, for example, being an entrepreneur? Or are you kind of making it up as you go?
I mean, I think that in school, you know, interestingly, you know, in journalism school, when I was there, there was no social media industry. There was, you know, people were on Facebook, but it was, you know, open only to college students. So I didn't necessarily learn about this industry. I definitely didn't study business. You know, I had a minor in marketing. So there was a little bit of sort of, you know, this awareness of what brands were doing to sort of engage with their customers, but it wasn't nearly it wasn't nearly enough to sustain a business. So I certainly learned a lot in the first few years. I'm still learning, but I think in the beginning it was very much an exercise of trying things and seeing what worked, you know, and eventually figuring out a formula that would both sustain myself and now the team I have.
Yeah. Okay. So when you first decided that this was the path you were going to take, did you, I don't know, call in some mentor, somebody you trusted? Was there a family member? Like, how did that go down? What was it? What was that? Maybe, I don't know, kitchen table type meeting or cafe table meeting with friends like?
Yeah, you know, I was really, really young, and I don't think I necessarily had friends who were starting their own businesses. But I actually had I have parents who are self-employed, and parents who, you know, for my entire childhood, you know, had everything from their own gas stations to real estate investments, and now, you know, are investing in you know, other types of commercial properties. But I kind of look to them as mentors, you know, certainly asking them questions about everything from, you know, things like accounting, which as a journalism major, nobody ever necessarily broached that subject with me.
Right.
But, you know, it sort of was nice to have them, you know, on speed dial, so to speak.
Now, did they think you were nuts with regards to a perhaps social media influencer approach? Although they probably supported you as an entrepreneur, but I don't know, maybe you weren't quite sure about what you were doing.
I think that a lot of people who work in social media can probably relate to what I'm about to say, which is that I think my parents have no idea what I do. And I think as long as I can sort of pay the mortgage and, you know, continue to build the business, they're like excited. But I don't necessarily think I would love to be a fly on the wall if someone asked my parents what I did, and hearing their response. I think that would be very funny.
That is funny. We're speaking with Natalie Zafat, writer, entrepreneur, social media influencer, and we're talking about her story and how she launched her kind of small business and entrepreneurial endeavor here. All right, so when, for example, you feel that you may have come in contact with somebody you could partner with, what's your 30-second elevator pitch?
You know, it's really interesting. I always say that I'm in the business of collaborating, not convincing.
Okay.
So I'm not sure I have a 30-second pitch. Usually I'm given a 30-second pitch, which I guess is a, you know, a very, you know, I should be very lucky to be in that position, where brands are coming to me and saying, hey, we have X amount of dollars. What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
So I always, you know, want to ask the brand their goals, and then figure out, hey, what am I pitching them? Because I think sometimes we're prematurely sort of, you know, telling people what would be interesting to do to work together. But really, until you know kind of what they're looking to do, and what their goals are, I think sometimes the elevator pitch comes a little premature.
Got it. So, how about in terms of the way you make money now? Do you base, say, a blog entry might be one fee. Video content, as you mentioned, might be another. If you're doing some sort of live event, that's another. Are you fee-based, I guess? Is that how that works?
Yeah. That is exactly how it works. And then we also have a sort of retainer model. So some of the brands I work with are on a year long contract.
Okay.
Where I might do a number of things for them within a calendar year, from hosting events to creating video content. And then other brands, you know, we want to test drive. We want to see if we like working with each other. So we might start with a video or an event or a blog post. And then who knows, in 2-3 months, I might hear back from them and say, hey, we really liked how that worked for us and the traction we got. Let's do something else.
Very good. What's your team like? You mentioned your team before. What do they do? How do you guys work together?
Yeah. So it's a really, really boutique operation. It's very skeletal. There's 5 of us, and we work together very skeletally. We are, they help me with everything from designing assets that I share on social to creating copy. If I'm hired to make a video, I usually work with a copywriter to help me script out what I want to say and really articulate the brand points as well. Sort of like a variety of roles. And also, I have a wide, wide network of contributors. You know, we work with video editors. We work with all kinds of people who photographers who we might only do 1 or 2 things a month with, but certainly that help us run the business because it is so small.
Got it. All right. So what about like on the benefits plan for yourself? How difficult is the market right now, say, for health insurance, for example?
I don't know. I think we're in a really good place, economically with Obamacare and with I probably shouldn't talk politics with you, but I feel like healthcare is easier than ever. Personally speaking, I've been a freelancer and a small business owner for the better part of a decade. And I find that when I speak to my friends who are employed by corporations and they look at their statements, I'm actually paying a little less than them.
Mm.
So I feel like that's the least of my concerns. And for my staff, they seem to agree. I think that, the thing that is sort of interesting is that, 50% of all workers will be self-employed by 2020. And I always give a second for that to sink in because I think it's really an interesting statistic that, hopefully I think hopefully instills a little bit of peace of mind with people who are looking to start their own companies very much like I did.
Yeah.
It is possible. And not only is it possible, it's going to be the future of our country.
Very good. Since we're in springtime here, offer some advice for entrepreneurs who are maybe just graduating and thinking, man, that's something I'd like to do. What, I don't know, advice or a mistake you made or something like that.
I speak at a lot of colleges. It's one of my favorite places to talk because I think that, what's really interesting is, I graduated 10 years ago. We didn't have social media classes. Blogging wasn't a part of the curriculum. I was measuring my writing in inches when I was in college.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was only 10 years ago. A lot's happened in the last 10 years. I'm sure a lot will happen in the next 10. But for now, every time I go into a school, I really tell them that, and remind them that they're getting, an education in an industry that is thriving, and that is really only growing. And it's one that, even someone like myself who is a social media entrepreneur didn't have the luxury of having. So that's definitely, the best thing that can happen is that you're part of, an industry that's growing, that more and more jobs are becoming available in. I feel like, everywhere I go, I speak at Columbia, NYU, Parsons, Carnegie Mellon, the kids are just so, so much more advanced than I ever was in the topic I work in.
Very good. What about if, say, for example, a bigger firm came along and said, we'd like to, buy up assets, whether it's a client list or your ideas, your organizational skills, would you do that and work for like a singular firm, or do you prefer what you have right now?
I have actually had a couple of offers, and the thing that's funny is that I really am not doing this to make, you know, tons of money and retire. Obviously, I'm in this to make money, but I actually really like what I do. And it would be really, really hard to give it up. You know, I feel lucky that I, you know, wake up every morning and truly, and you know, get to write and work with some of the brands that I've idolized my whole life. You know, obviously I reserve the right to change my mind, but right. So far I really haven't been met with an offer that could even come close to matching how much I love what I do and would be willing to give up.
Well, that's great. You mentioned something too that night we spoke together in New York about, I think the phrase we used, like an obligation to your team. And that's not something I think that many of us who work for a larger company are used to hearing. You work for a small firm, maybe more likely, but that struck me as something that was unique to, say, an entrepreneur when you said you felt that obligation to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's probably the toughest part about, you know, being your own boss. It's that you are responsible for, you know, other people's well-being and their income and all of these things that, you know, when you work for a big company, you don't necessarily have to think about when you have a team. You know, so it's the hardest part, but it's also maybe the best part, you know, knowing that people trust you for, you know, to be able to make a living and to be able to have a work-life balance, the responsibility of being able to give them that and knowing that you have is unparalleled for me.
Yeah. Tell me about key resources, something you must read every day. I don't know, newspaper, magazine, blog, Twitter, something or other.
I mean, there's this really good podcast that I love. I think, you know, I'm sort of like I love reading social media and technology news. So I'm always on Mashable. I'm always on TechCrunch. You know, I look at Refinery a lot. You know, I'm sort of, you know, I read Business Insider. You know, there's not one outlet that I necessarily go to all the time, but, okay. You know, I'm sort of, I love spending at least the first 15 minutes of my day, sort of, you know, sort of scrolling through the top headlines. I think that's almost like the millennial version of reading the newspaper.
Yeah, sure. Very good. What about, I know you said you'd like to retire one day. It's not in your thoughts right now, but a lot of small business owners are asked, or, you know, entrepreneurs are asked about exit plans that may be down the line, but did you ever design one and say, you know, when I hit this point or when I don't know, finish this or complete this or get to X point?
No, you know, I get asked a lot, you know, sort of, where do you want your business to be in 5 years or 10 years?
Yeah.
or, you know, the question you just asked, a great questions. I think in my perfect world, I wouldn't want anything to change. And I know that's impossible because everything changes every day, especially in this crazy industry. But I really want to, you know, continue to partner with brands who allow me to focus on the things I care about. So, you know, if we're working with a Microsoft or a Dell, for example, my goal is to not just talk about their technologies, but also to figure out how their technologies are helping college graduates find jobs, or how their technologies are helping small business owners sort of make better financial decisions. So really, it's not just about innovation, it's also about education and figuring out, you know, how these products can help people. So as long as I can keep doing that, I think I'll never need an exit plan. That to me is like what I would do if this wasn't my job.
How about that? Thanks, Natalie. Natalie Zafat, writer, entrepreneur, and social media influencer. You can check her out on Twitter with the username @NatalieZafat, and that's Z-F-A-T. Her website, too, nataliezafat.com. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, and we encourage you to leave feedback, too, on whatever podcast platform you use, whether it's, say, iTunes or SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.